Hello and welcome to the Eating Disorder Therapist podcast. This is a podcast to help you find peace with food and overcome disordered eating. And I'm Harriet Frew, aka the Eating Disorder Therapist. And I'm so excited to share with you all kinds of stories, tips, information and guest interviews to help you on your journey in finding peace with food. So thank you so much for listening today. Now, today I have a returning guest to the podcast and I am talking to Marcel Rose, founder of Marcel Rose Nutrition. Marcel specializes in helping women beat binge eating, bulimia, emotional eating, and yo-yo dieting so they can make peace with their body and heal their relationship with food. And she acknowledges that for many people, that this is a transformational experience so they can reclaim their life. Marcel is a BANT registered nutritionist and health coach with specialist training in eating disorders and behavior change, being a master practitioner from the NCFED, the National Center for Eating Disorders, plus having undertaken further training in Socratic questioning for eating disorders and body image. Today, Marcel is going to do a deep dive into binge eating. She's going to explore common factors that contribute to people developing binge eating behaviors. Marcel will talk about what distinguishes normal eating from disordered eating. And she's also then going to give some practical steps to begin the process of overcoming binge eating and healing your relationship with food. So much information packed into this conversation. I hope you enjoy it.
Hi, Marcel. Thank you so much for coming back on the Eating Disorder Therapist podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me back. It's great to be back.
So, Marcel, for people that don't know you, can I get you to introduce yourself first, please?
Yes, so I am a BANT registered nutritionist and coach, but specialise in working with people with eating disorders, disordered eating and emotional eating. So really helping people to heal their relationship with food and looking at all the different sort of aspects of that and trying to help people kind of basically reclaim their life from what is very distressing for them.
Oh, no, fantastic. And Marcel, I hope you don't mind me mentioning this, actually, but you've got a book that is coming at some point.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Yes. Thank you for mentioning. Yes. It has been a bit of a process. I'm still working on it, but I'm hoping that soon it's going to the editing stage. So I'm really excited about it because it has been a massive task, but I've enjoyed doing it. And I really want to be able to offer people the chance to be able to start working on their relationship with food. And particularly, this is about binge eating and emotional eating, because obviously not everyone can access that sort of one-to-one support. It's my mission to help as many people as possible with it.
Yeah, well, fantastic. And yeah, and we did talk about you possibly coming back, didn't we, when your book is released. So keep us updated.
I will do. Thank you.
Marcel, we're going to talk about binge eating today, and I know this is a hugely popular area actually on the podcast. Always, these are the most downloaded episodes, so I think it's definitely something a lot of people are struggling with. But I think even though it's talked about a lot more, there's still a lot of shame around binge eating, and I think people find it really hard to talk about. Do you sort of find that yourself in your practice?
Yeah, there's so much shame. And whenever I have a call with someone, because I always speak to somebody before start working with them, and people are quite surprised to find out that there are so many other people struggling with similar challenges. They do feel so much shame and guilt, and it's a very secretive thing for them. And yeah, I think it's just people don't realize that it's such a big challenge for many people, and actually they're not on their own. They're not the only ones, that you can work on it and you can overcome it.
So Marcel, what exactly is binge eating? Because I think it's a term that gets bandied around quite a bit, and it's sort of almost used in everyday conversation, isn't it? Where people might be talking about binging, but maybe they're not really binging. What do we mean when we talk about binge eating in terms of sort of eating disorder, disordered eating sense?
Yeah, so I think some people do talk about binge or think that they've necessarily had a binge, but yeah, they might just use it kind of as a saying. But really, it's about, there's a number of different criteria that binge eating disorder, the eating disorder, you have to meet that criteria. And they might be things such as usually eating a large amount of food in a very small space of time and extremely quickly, and followed by feelings of extreme distress and guilt. It's often eating in secret, And it often feels very much like a trance-like experience and something that feels very much out of control. I think for some people, they talk to me, they would might call themselves a binge eater, but actually they might be more of a sort of grazer or emotional eater in some way, but might not necessarily meet that criteria of that very fast eating in that short space of time and usually a large amount. Though for some people, their perceived amounts are different to others. So that can vary with person to person.
Well, thanks for clarifying that. And what factors contribute to binge eating? I know this is a big question, but what do you think are the main different sort of things that contribute to it?
Yes, I would say there are a number of different things. I would say, first of all, just thinking about what your food world was like when you were growing up. For many people in their early years, what was the influence like of their parents, their family, and as they grew up with their friends, how was food talked about? What was your association with food? Was it withheld as a punishment for you or offered as a reward or to soothe you? Were you told to finish everything on your plate? So very often there's lots of different of these influences on your life as you grow up, which can play a role in that development of binge eating. So there's so much misinformation out there as well around food and dieting, and it's really important to be able to debunk those myths, and there's a lot of confusion, but that tends to be a sort of common theme going through. But also what your body image story is, so really what your beliefs are about your body and how they developed. And very often, unfortunately, you hear this develop in early childhood. Perhaps your parents talk negatively about their bodies or about your body, or perhaps you had spiteful comments at school. Perhaps you found it difficult going through early puberty or something like that. That's quite a common experience that triggers people to believe that perhaps they're bigger than other people, and then how they feel about their body. They feel different about themselves because of their body size. And it's very much that thoughts about your body is very much connected to how you feel about food as well. And very often there's that thinking that food has the power over your body size. So it can be really helpful to explore your food and body history and to sort of help gain awareness and uncover the meanings that you've attached to food and the connection with your self-image. But also I would say, I mentioned dieting as well, dieting restriction. We know that that has a higher risk of binge eating, development of binge eating, and of course, other eating disorders. I've had clients that come to me who, as I'm sure you have, who've been on diet since they were 10, 11, 12 years old. And it's just been continuous yo-yo dieting. And that's kind of led to the sort of binge eating behaviors. It is your body's way of protecting yourself from that famine, that perceived famine beliefs you're going into when you go into a restriction. And your subconscious brain will do all it can to get you to search for food. So really increase the release of hunger hormones. So that leads to those cravings for foods as well, which can lead to binge eating behavior. But also you've got things like low self-worth, which actually drives more binge eating, and then the binge eating drives low self-worth. So you've got that sort of underlying thinking and low self-esteem where you feel like you're worthless, you're no value, you feel a failure. Perhaps you compare yourself with other people and very much base your self-worth on physical appearance. And of course, as I said, that would drive you to believe that you're not worthy of looking after yourself or treating yourself with compassion. And you might be in a battle with your body. And if you're battling with your body, you're much less likely to look after it. That can lead to the sort of self-sabotaging type behavior. Obviously, the key there is really building that self-worth. And then just lack of coping strategies as well is another one, where over time, perhaps the binge eating has been there for you. It's become your only sort of coping mechanism to sort of numb or stuff down your feelings. And you find that that's been the only way that you've learned how to cope with difficult feelings. There are many different aspects to it and different things to work on when you're going through that recovery.
Yeah, no, thank you for sort of talking us through that. And I think it just really shows, doesn't it? It's really quite complex, actually. Recovering from binge eating is more than probably just allowing back in the foods or focusing on one thing. It's such a complex mix, isn't it, of kind of our early life, the body image stories, whether we've been dieting, our self-worth, how we take care of ourselves, how we deal with our emotions. There's so many different threads coming together.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much. And I think that is often underestimated. So if people feel like they've tried to change one thing and then feel like it hasn't worked and then feel like they failed, it's not their fault. There's so many different things that come into it and that need to be addressed as you work forward and work on that recovery.
Marcel, do you find with your clients that most of them start binge eating after they've been dieting or restricting their food in some way? Or do you find sometimes that maybe people weren't dieting, but they just started using food to soothe, maybe as a young child, more emotional eating, and then that leads to binge eating? Yeah, I'm just interested to hear your perspective on that.
Yeah, I think I've had, just thinking about it, various different clients who've had different histories really with it. I think, yes, definitely there's been some people who absolutely have dieted their whole lives and that's led to binge eating. But then other people, the binge eating has become, it has started early on as that coping mechanism. So I think I find that it varies, very much varies. I don't know, what do you find with your clients?
Yeah, no, I think, again, it does vary, doesn't it? I think probably most proportion of people I work with, the majority of people probably have dieted at least to some extent at some point, and then the binge eating has almost been an inevitable outcome. But yeah, not always. I suppose, again, it's just really important, isn't it, that there's no one way into this. And if you're listening and you identify yourself as someone who struggles with binge eating, just to realize in a way that there's no right way into it as well. And your story will be unique.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everyone's story is unique, but they just share some of the common challenges. And that's why it's important to work on the different areas so that you are working on what is right for you as well, because everyone obviously varies with their situation and history of dieting, etc.
Obviously, if our eating is a bit disordered, a bit chaotic, a bit erratic, that can definitely perpetuate binge eating behaviours. So I wonder if you could just say a little bit more about the difference between normal, in air quotes, versus disordered eating. Because I think people get a bit confused there sometimes as well, because we have nutrition overload, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. It's so overwhelming. And many people come to me with that complete overwhelm of thinking, I know how I should be eating and should, inverted commas, and just very confused about what is normal eating. I don't like to use the word normal eating, but I suppose it helps to sort of explain the differences with disordered eating. I like to think of it on a spectrum, a continuum, and you have your sort of normal eaters at one end and then eating disorders at the other. And then, of course, you've got that whole spectrum of people in the middle who are disordered eaters of some kind. So when you think about normal eating, I think of it as really usually eat when you feel hungry and stop when you feel satisfied or full. But actually, some people might overeat on occasions, but then just move on with it rather than sort of beating themselves up. And it's something that's in their head constantly. They just move on, because we all kind of emotionally occasionally sometimes, and that's perfectly normal. So it's really around moving on from that. I suppose if you're a normal eater, you wouldn't be constantly thinking about food. You might think about maybe the function of your food sometimes and think, oh, I'd like to be eating some more vegetables with my next meal or something like that. But it wouldn't be a constant narrative, inner narrative in your mind. And they will get pleasure and enjoyment from food. And most importantly, not using food as a method to control yourself, to control your body or your weight, or punish yourself. So I would say those are what would kind of constitute normal eating. But disordered eating is really when you're constantly thinking about food, analyzing everything about food, maybe the calories or everything else, anything else in the food, having a lot of anxiety around the food, perhaps being secretive about eating, having a lot of rigidity and rules. And it's interesting because this is something that I often talk to my clients about, their rules. Well, we always end up talking. And initially, some people might believe that actually they haven't got any rules. And when we start to talk through, they're quite surprised to discover that there are a lot of rules there and really not much enjoyment in the eating process. And I think with binge eating, I don't know if you find this with your clients, but I certainly with mine, people usually say, no, I'm not actually getting any enjoyment from a binge. For some people, the sort of dopamine hit that they might get is even just thinking about buying the food for the binge. So even before they get to eating the food, they've already kind of lost that sort of boost from it. And of course, all the critical thoughts that just go on is really very much defines that disordered eating.
Time for a short advertisement break. Now, I know we talk a lot about food freedom on this podcast and how important it is to take care of yourself mentally and physically as you learn to navigate a culture inundated with toxic messaging. One of the best ways to take care of yourself is through exercise, but I know it can be really hard to find an exercise program that isn't rooted in these toxic messages and doesn't feel triggering. Well, I recently met Katie, the owner of an amazing new exercise company called WeShape. WeShape doesn't focus on calorie counting, tracking how much you work out, or making you feel bad about your body to get you motivated. Instead, they create a customized exercise routine for you that helps you connect with and care for your body rather than feel the pressure to change it. They help you learn to set intentions that come from a place of self-care rather than self-judgment, and they support you every step of the way with an amazing community and live coaching so you can make exercise a self-care practice that helps you feel better in your body and about your body. Plus, they're giving listeners of the show a chance to try it out for 2 full weeks for free. Just head on over to weshape.com/freedom or check out the link in the show notes to get started today.
Oh, and thanks for clarifying that. And as you're talking, what's really helpful for people to hear as well is that it's so much about how we're thinking about food and our mindset and our feelings, isn't it? So I think sometimes people think, oh, I haven't got an eating disorder or disordered eating because I look fine, I look healthy, I have a certain look about me, or other people wouldn't be concerned about me. But it's so much about how we're thinking, isn't it? And when you're in a disordered eating place, there's not a lot of peace there, is there? There's a lot of preoccupation, a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear. When you're in that more kind of air quotes normal eating place, you're kind of just like living your life, aren't you, with food gently going along in the background, you know, bringing pleasure, bringing satisfaction, bringing fuel. But it's not something that you're like obsessing over 24/7.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a big difference. The mindset is such an important part of it.
So Martha, when you're working with people to work on their binge eating, what sort of steps do you take them through? Because I guess, you know, you talked at the beginning about all the different things that can contribute towards binge eating. And it might feel a bit overwhelming, I guess, to think, oh my goodness, where do I even start? So could you just give people a little bit of a roadmap if they are listening?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it can feel extremely overwhelming. So I like to just keep it very, very simple for the beginning. And when I'm working, it's very much kind of a coaching process. So we are very much working on small steps, not trying to overhaul everything in one day. Start to take each step at a time, small step at a time, whilst you're building those kind of tools, you're learning some key strategies so that you can gradually move along and become better equipped to deal with it. The first thing that I often say, and I've written a guide to help people with this, just because people don't really know where to start. And so I wanted to keep it very simple and help people with this. So this is what I would say as well. The first step in my guide and what I would say is really about establishing regular eating patterns. So don't even worry about what you're eating initially. It's just literally, am I eating breakfast, lunch, dinner? Because so many people, they've been playing around with fasting and skipping meals, and especially earlier on in the day. I find with a lot of my clients that they are not feeling that hunger early on in the day and thinking, they say to me, I don't understand it because I've been good in the early, and as soon as I started eating, then it's all kind of turned into a bit of a free-for-all, and then the binging happens later, etc. And we know from the research that actually you're much more likely to consume a lot more if you are skipping those meals at the beginning of the day. So if you eat at regular meal times, that's one of the sort of basics. So add in a breakfast. I know that some people fear feeling hungry or don't feel hungry early on in the day. So I would suggest, if that's the case, start with something small. And once you get into a routine, you'll begin to notice more of a healthy morning hunger, which is actually a really positive thing. I know for many people, they don't want to feel that. They're scared of feeling that, but it's actually a positive thing. And it means that you can start really addressing the sort of the balance of your eating. I would say that's really the first step to start with. And it kind of sounds simple, but I know for a lot of people, even that is a big deal. So it's working towards that. And then I would say the second step would be trying to tune into your appetite a little bit more. I would say, whether even if you think, as I said, you're not hungry at certain times, stick to your regular eating no matter what. But this is just more of an awareness exercise as you start to build up that understanding of yourself and your appetite. So it's really, I provided in my guide a hunger scale that you can use to help with this. So it just helps you to notice where you are. So at one end is extreme hunger. At the other end of the scale is feeling completely full to the point of discomfort and perhaps feeling sick even, which is quite common with binge eating, for example. But in the middle, there are lots of steps within your appetite. It's not just I'm really hungry or I'm really full, but there is lots of nuance to try and tune into, actually, where am I on the scale right now? And that can help you to then think about, well, if I'm allowing myself to get over hungry, that's much more likely to lead to a binge. It's starting to tune into that. It can take time. And I would say that for some people, particularly if they're with ADHD or autism, will find it harder to recognize those appetite signals. But if you find it hard, still try and check in and try and just notice, okay, before I eat, where am I on the scale? And when I finish my meal, where am I on the scale? And it's not about having judgment and thinking anything about yourself. It's literally just about trying to see where you are and think, okay, perhaps I've sort of ate a bit more than I was comfortable with this time, but what can I do differently tomorrow? So it's more about that observation. And then my third step, I would say, is really to incorporate snacks, but with intention. If you incorporate a snack, if you need it, it's really about consuming a specific food, a set point in time. It's having that intention is very different to kind of mindless eating or turning to kind of snack foods for a binge, for example. If you do find that you are going for long periods of time without eating between, say, lunch and dinner, and you're getting overly hungry, then perhaps that's a good time to put in a snack. That's where relating back to the hunger scale can help you make that decision and help you be prepared as well. So it's about being prepared in advance with what you're going to actually eat. Doesn't mean something sweet necessarily. It could be a number of different things, but trying to perhaps include some protein in there, some natural fats and more complex carbohydrates. So I'd say those are probably the first three things to really just focus on initially to just start to get that regulation, and that will help stabilize your blood glucose as well. So you're not getting such intense cravings then throughout the day.
Yeah. And I guess it all needs a bit of practice and repetition, doesn't it? Because I think sometimes we can like launch into trying to sort of overhaul our eating. And I guess if your eating has been in a very sort of chaotic and disordered place, it might take quite a few weeks to build up to sort of a more regular eating plan. And to even begin to notice like hunger cues, and to give yourself much permission to have those snacks. So I think it's permission, isn't it, to engage with the long game really and take your time with this process.
Absolutely. You're so right. Yeah. I mean, just doing the regular eating, as you say, can take time to get into, but it's all about repetition. and practice and not beating yourself up if you haven't had a perfect day, because we're not trying to achieve a perfect day. I think that's the biggest initial challenge that many of my clients come across when they first start. It's like they're very much trying to be perfect, and it's not about that. It's just about step by step, small steps. And what can I learn from what happened? Was I over hungry at that point because I'd actually missed my breakfast? Okay, so what can I do? Did I struggle to get breakfast in because I didn't have time? So what can I do to help myself mitigate that sort of risk? It's really a learning and awareness rather than this is good, this is where I need to be, or I failed. It's really a very gradual process.
And I think regular eating, it's not popular so much at the moment, is it? There's so much talk around intermittent fasting, time-restricted eating, all of that. And I guess there's a lot of very credible voices, some research, etc., where people talk about how well they're doing on these kind of different regimes. So understandable, I think, that people are drawn to want to experiment with all these different kind of eating models. But I don't know if you feel this, Marcel, but I do believe genuinely that maybe these regimes do work for some people. But I think what is not talked about openly is that many, many, many people try things like time-restricted eating, intermittent fasting, cutting out food groups, delaying eating, and end up with disordered eating, binge eating. I think it's way more common than is talked about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just hear so much of it. And yes, maybe for some people, a few people, they might find it helps them. But I think, obviously, I'm only working with people who are struggling with disordered eating, eating disorder, or emotional eating. And I just see so many people who've tried that and then they've ended up getting into this trap and they blame themselves because why isn't it working for me when everybody else is, or it's supposed to be the thing. And yes, you do hear sort of credible voices, or what you think are credible voices, get a lot of sort of airplay about it, airtime. And actually, there's not enough talk about how this can be a risk for anyone with kind of risk of sort of dieting or disordered eating. But even for people who haven't been there, it tends to lead to that sort of obsessional behavior. You know, I often see people who have just find it so hard to let go of that fasting window or the timing. It creates a huge amount of anxiety.
Yeah, and it really does, doesn't it? And I really do hope that as more and more of these conversations are being had, that some of the mainstream podcasts will be addressing the psychological side of the piece of the puzzle, because I think these voices need to be heard, don't they, really? I think there's so many people that are struggling. Anyway, that aside, Marcel, what do you tend to do once you've got the kind of regular eating in place, tuning in a bit more to appetite, doing those intentional snacks? What would you be working on next in that binge eating recovery journey?
Really, a lot goes into the reducing that chaotic sort of eating in terms of what are they eating. So hopefully you've got to the point where you're having your three meals a day, but I start to bring in a little bit of a balance within what you're eating, trying to make sure that you're having some protein, getting some fiber in, and getting a bit more of a balanced plate can really help just you to reduce cravings. And with the less chaotic eating, so for some people, they might be having 10 Diet Cokes a day, things like that, which can really impact, for example, or just foods that aren't necessarily helping them, without demonizing any foods, because I try to keep that very much that it is all about all foods can be eaten as part of a balanced diet. But what can we do to sort of help minimize those cravings? So I do work around that. But we also do work around trying to build up some of the things that we were talking about earlier. So working on building up self-esteem and self-worth, and thinking about, almost thinking about their vision of what they want in their life, so that the kind of body image and low self-esteem doesn't become the main focus. It starts to become less important. At the same time, working on other areas whilst very gradually introducing a little bit more nutritional balance in. As you say, with as before, it's very much a very gradual process.
Yeah, and I think it's a challenging one, isn't it? Because I know a lot of my clients, when they're trying to work on body image and self-worth and everything, they kind of can identify on a rational level that diet culture is unhealthy. They don't really want to be pursuing this, but actually getting to the roots of that and being able to change how you feel emotionally, that can be quite challenging, can't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because as you know, there's the thoughts. What I like to work on is getting the balance in other ways first, getting that nutrition in, but also thinking about other things like sleep, for example, that can play such a big role in your hunger and your cravings the next day. So if you're not really prioritizing your sleep, that can be playing a role. If you've got gut problems and you're constantly bloated, that could either be quite triggering for you or just unhelpful, just in terms of, again, that could be impacting your hunger signals and things like that. Working on all of those, there's lots of things to work on, but especially things like, as you said, when your emotions and feelings are involved, that is almost, I find, later down the line, just being able to identify what your emotions are and being able to feel comfortable with feeling a little bit uncomfortable with emotions that we've been told we shouldn't have, like negative emotions. Very often people grow up thinking I shouldn't be having these negative emotions. So it's starting to cope with that as well.
Do you find when you're working with people with binge eating as well, that related to the kind of holes that perhaps pushing down negative emotions, that perhaps people are struggling sometimes with people pleasing and sort of just stepping into their own power, I guess, and having an authentic voice, perhaps they don't even know what that looks like or what that means.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And just understanding their relationships with people around them, because some relationships have not been very helpful or are continuing not to be helpful as we work through that recovery process. So it's understanding that, and certainly people pleasing, yeah, comes up a lot. So it's establishing those boundaries. What do you need for yourself? What do you need to say that you need and that you have the right to ask for that?
Yeah, no, wisdom. So Marcel, you have a binge eating guide. We're going to put the link in the show notes. So do you want to just sort of say a bit more about that for anyone that might be interested to get hold of it?
Yes. So it's basically a 4-step guide to healing your relationship with food. And it is very much on the lines of what I've talked about. It takes you through the steps, the 3 steps that I talked about, plus another step. It has some journaling pages in there, which helps you to do your appetite, to sort of have that appetite awareness. And it helps you to start to notice where there are risky situations or difficult situations and where you can create some change and do something a bit differently. So it's a 4-step guide. I want to keep it really quite simple as possible, because as you know, we've talked about, everything can feel very overwhelming. So it's really about understanding snack ideas as well in there, and just simple place to start with those 4 steps. And I hope that people will find that a helpful way to start, because it just can feel too much otherwise. I think you're just scrabbling around for different bits of information on how to even get started.
Yeah, no, it's so true, isn't it? I really like the kind of simplified approach that you're sort of adopting there. Because I think sometimes as well, we are inundated with so much information, aren't we? And we read a lot. I think we're all guilty of this. Like, we kind of read a lot, we absorb a lot, but we often don't actually put it into practice. We kind of think about it, but actually it sounds like with your guide as well, actually it's got some real kind of practical things that if you perhaps just really focus on trying to put some of those things really sort of gently, bit by bit, into practice, it's really going to help bring about some change.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm hoping. I wanted to make it actionable, because we can read so much. I think we're all guilty of it, aren't we? Reading. But if we're not taking the action, then nothing's going to change. So it's really important to just get started without getting overwhelmed with all the noise out there.
Yeah, hear, hear. So Marcel, where can people find you if they want to get in touch or book a consultation or all the good things?
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, so my website is marcelrosenutrition.co.uk. You can get in touch with me on Instagram. Come follow me there at Marcel Rose Nutrition. And also I'm on Facebook and Marcel Rose Nutrition as well. And I also have a Facebook group called the Food Freedom Collective, which is a free group to join. And I do weekly bite-sized videos to just talking about healing your relationship with food, really, and to sort of try and give you some practical steps and things to do. And just have, I'm in there for kind of weekly support and any questions that come up. So do come and join me there as well.
Okay, fantastic. We'll put the links in the show notes, Marcel, and I'm sure that people will be after your guide and also will probably be wanting to like get in touch with you and via the various means. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you so much for coming on again. Really appreciate you sharing your wisdom all about binge eating. I know people are going to find this really, really helpful. And please do come back again when you are launching your book, because I'm sure people will be pleased to hear about it.
Thanks so much, Harriet. Thanks for having me.
So I hope you enjoyed this conversation just as much as I did. Do go and check out all of Marcel's info in the show notes. If you're not following me already on Instagram, do seek me out at @eatingdisordertherapist_. And for further support with your relationship with food, do go to theeatingdisordertherapist.co.uk. If you enjoy this podcast, I would be so grateful if you would follow, rate and review, as it helps it reach so many more listeners. Thank you so much for listening today, and I look forward to sharing another podcast episode with you very soon.